Amen. Take the word of God this evening, if you would. We turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. We've been looking at this book for the last few weeks. The title of our series is Earnestly Contend for the Faith. And as we've mentioned many times already, if you view the book of Acts as the early days and the work of the early church and the apostles, we certainly view the book of Jude as the near the end of the church age as we know it, and the work of the apostates or the work of apostasy that takes place. The book of Jude was written to believers, Christian people, and we've been making our way through this a verse or two at a time. We're going to continue that this evening. We'll read the entire chapter since it's such a short book. And we'll begin reading in verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. The angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under the darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beast; in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom it is reserved the blackness of darkness. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they've ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even a garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I draw attention this evening to verse 9 And we'll reference verse 8 once again as we looked at last week. But the Bible tells us, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Note that last those last words there, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, as we've said many times already, the Lord desires for us to earnestly contend for the faith. And sometimes I think we forget that there is a supernatural power involved in the opposition that God's people face in this world. We're facing some tremendous spiritual opposition today. And there's a battle raging around us and often inside of us. And we can only have victory, understand tonight, through the Lord. Our theme this year, stand fast in the Lord. The only way we're going to be able to stand as we should is to stand fast in the Lord. And I want you to notice here the connection between verse 8 and verse 9. Again, we'll read verses 8 and 9. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, verse 8 here speaks about the apostates who speak against those in authority. Verse 9 here gives us the example that even Michael the archangel did not speak against the devil, but committed him to the Lord. Man, we have a hard time with that at times, do we not? We like to take matters into our own hands. Sometimes we want to do the job that God can only do, but we want to help God out, do we not? But we need to understand that God, we just need to turn those matters over to the Lord. And this is a warning here, really, against tearing down other people. I am so grateful for the folks that make up Temple Baptist Church. I think we've got folks here that love one another. That's not tearing one another down, but trying to encourage one another and build folks up. That's what a church is supposed to be. And yet there are many places that's not like that. The people, many times people get crossways with one another. And instead of encouraging one another, they discourage one another. Instead of uplifting one another, they tear one another down. But we need to understand that we're not to tear others down. You say, they've offended me. Well, first of all, we're to die to self. We all agree with that, right? Let's practice. We're to die to self, amen? Let's try that again. We're to die to self, amen? All right. Now, a dead man has absolutely zero feelings. It's the truth. Dead man has no feelings. And so when you say you get your feelings hurt, really you're saying you've not died to self. Amen? Heard a preacher telling a story one time. He had a very well-known preacher at his church who's now in heaven. Some of you may have heard of Lester Roloff. Preached a lot of places in this area. And he was at this particular church, and the pastor who was having him there said something, and he thought it might have offended Lester Roloff. And he looked at him and he said, I apologize, I shouldn't have said that. And Lester Roloff said, listen, if that bothered me, it's not your fault, it's my fault, because I'm supposed to be dead to self. And the truth of the matter is, when we get our feelings hurt, and we are susceptible to that, but when we get our feelings hurt, it's really because we've not died to self. Paul said, I die daily. It's a daily occurrence, amen? We struggle with that. This body that God has given us struggles and does everything that it can to survive. I was at the hospital this week. I got a call, and there was a patient that was nearing death, and I was in there talking with the family. And you know, it's amazing how the body struggles just to stay alive. They removed some of the things that was aiding and assisting this individual, trying to keep them alive, and this person lived a little longer than what the doctors and nurses were expecting. Why is it the body struggles to stay alive? It fights to stay alive. The same is true in the spiritual realm, but we must die to self, or else we'll go around having our feelings hurt all the time. But again, we want to just look at some things here. As we think about this, we're going to see a solemn warning that we should not bring accusation against those in authority or tear one another down. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us understand these thoughts this evening. And as we pray, let's ask the Lord to speak directly to our hearts. And as the Lord speaks directly to our hearts, let's be good learners. Let's be thorough learners. Let's be leadable people. So let the Lord lead us and guide us to where it is He'd have us to be tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, thank You for the principles and precepts we find in Your Word that we can base our life upon. And Lord, I pray tonight that You might teach us the things that You desire that we might learn and understand. And Lord, I pray we might be leadable so that You might lead us to the place You desire that we might be. Lord, we certainly understand apart from You, we can do absolutely nothing. And so, Lord, the best I know how, I want to be dependent upon Your leadership and guidance and wisdom this evening. Use us as You see fit for Your honor and for Your glory. And we'll thank You for all that You do, for we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I want to give you three thoughts briefly this evening from this passage. First of all, note here the evil that surrounds us. The evil that surrounds us. The Bible teaches us that we are contending with the devil. We're to earnestly contend for the faith. But there is evil that surrounds us. Most of the time, we're unaware of the spiritual contention that's going on around us. By the way, it's happening in this service tonight. The devil's trying to bid for our attention, trying to draw our mind away from that which the Lord would have us to think about and understand. But this should prepare us, understanding this contention and this evil that surrounds us, this should prepare us for a life of prayer and faith in God. Jude here mentions that contention over the body of Moses. Now turn back, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy. It's interesting here, the contention here that took place over Moses. And we looked at this in Sunday school several weeks ago or a few months ago. But notice here, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 34. The Word of God tells us, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, or was not dim, nor his natural face abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Now, understand this, and again, it's interesting what we read here in verse number 9, but the children of Israel did not see Moses' body at the time Moses died. Why? Because God buried him. And the Bible tells us no man knows where he's buried today. But the children of Israel didn't see Moses' body, and they were not involved in the burial of Moses, but there was a spiritual contention taking place over Moses' body. Now, there could be several reasons. I have a tendency to lean that possibly the devil wanted to deceive the children of Israel into worshiping the image of Moses. It didn't take much for the children of Israel to worship false gods. They were guilty of that many times. You know the story, how that they built the golden calf constructed the golden calf and they worshiped that. And as you study the history of the Israelite people, many times judgment came because of a dual loyalty or a worship of a false god. And we don't know exactly what this contention for the body of Moses was, but I have a tendency to think Satan wanted to cause the children of Israel to worship an image of Moses. And then we need to ask God, when these types of things happen, and they happen all the time, we're in spiritual warfare constantly. I'll say more about that in just a moment. But we need to ask God to help us to be aware that evil is all around us. Spiritual warfare is raging. Don't forget that. You know, sometimes we get somewhat flippant in our Christian life and in our walk with the Lord, but we need not be flippant. We need to be diligent, and we need to be faithful to the things of God. The Bible tells us over in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to reference this again in just a moment, but in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That is where the battle is going on, in spiritual places and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's evil that surrounds us. We need to understand that. Now, I know it's, by the way, it's easy to live a Christian life while we're at church. Amen. We're surrounded by people that love us. We're surrounded by people that have, for the most part, the same mindset in regards to the things of God's Word and the things and the work of God. But it's another situation outside this building. And for the most part, the majority of people live lives contrary to the Word of God. For the most part, people are not in agreement with the principles of God's Word. And the reason being is we're surrounded by evil. I want you to notice the second thing here, not only the evil that surrounds us, but notice secondly here, the enemy that seeks to harm us. There is an enemy out there that's seeking to harm us. And by the way, it's not your neighbor. It's not an individual. The enemy that seeks to harm us is identified here in verse 9 as the devil. Notice again, if you would, in verse 9, "And yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil," he is your enemy. He is like a roaring lion, the Bible says. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He is not your friend. He is your foe. He is the enemy. And this enemy seeks to harm us. Understand that. And we know that the devil has worked to bring about all the evils of our society. You say, why do people act the way they act? We've heard this cliche for years, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil doesn't actually make people do evil, and the devil doesn't actually make people do wrong or sin, but the devil tempts us and makes sin look appealing, but we choose to sin ourselves. But we know the devil has worked to bring about all the evils of our society. I said a few weeks ago, they kind of run together now when you get my age. I can't remember when I said it, but I said it not long ago. There's been a change in the way that people think. People have been, their minds have been changed in regards to the absolute authority. People's minds have been changed about what the Bible calls sin. We've tried to redefine what the Bible defines as sin. And we've reclassified and used different terminologies to lessen the stigma that goes around or that's identified with particular sin. But understand, the evil of our day, Satan has brought that to pass. That's why young people go to school with guns and shoot people. Who would ever thought that would be a problem in this day in which we're living? I remember when I was in school, if you took a gun to school, you're going hunting after class. Or you brought your gun to class, or gun to school, and in shop class, you cleaned your gun. Who would ever imagine? I mean, I grew up in the country. It was not an uncommon thing to see pickup trucks with gun racks in the back glass and guns hanging on them at school. You can't do that these days. They don't know what you're going to do with that thing. But who would ever imagine the society in which we're living, this would be a problem? Who would ever imagine that just in our state, a few days ago, 12 people lost their lives over in Virginia Beach? What caused that evil in our society? And we know that the devil has worked to bring about all the evils of our society. And the truth of the matter is there has been a great destruction of morality and decency. I said, again, people, the way people think has changed. Used to be, there's a pretty good crowd here tonight, but used to be Wednesday night, people would go to church. Used to be Sunday night, people were in church. You'll find it hard to find a church that's meeting on a Wednesday night or Sunday night even in this day. Now, I'm not talking about other types of church. I'm talking about Baptist churches. I had a fellow tell me not long ago, he said, you know, you're one of the only churches that has service on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I said, you all don't? He said, no, we haven't had it for a long time. I wanted to say it's clearly obvious by your actions and attitude, but I was nice. I don't think we need less church. I think we need more church. I don't think we need less preaching. I think we need more preaching. I don't think we need less of teaching the Word of God. I think we need more of that. And it's clearly obvious the things that are happening in our days, I believe, is partially a result of a lack of emphasis upon the Word of God and the attendance to the house of God and preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. It's clearly obvious that what's happening today or what we're trying today is not working, it's not successful. I believe Satan's the most proud of the work that he's done in what I would term religious deception. People are damned because they are believing something other than the plain truth that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And by the way, he is the only way of salvation. The gentleman that did the funeral for my wife's grandmother, he was plain spoken. There was nothing fancy about him at all. One thing that stood out to me, I remember when men, when they wore a suit, used to wear white socks. Any of you ever do that? I try to make my socks match my shoes. This fella, he had white socks on. And I thought, this is an old-time fella right here. And when he got up to speak, I realized he's an old-time fella. He said, there's nothing sophisticated about me at all. But he just laid it out clear and he laid it out plain. I liked him. I know some folks may not like that kind of preaching, but I like it. Just lay it out straight, lay it out plain. But Satan is most proud of the work that he has done in religious deception. He's caused people to think there are multiple ways to have their sins forgiven. There are multiple ways to be accepted into heaven, but there's only one way. And Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not how good you are, because our goodness or our righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. It's unacceptable. I know folks, they think if they can just straighten up some things and some areas in their life that God will let them go to heaven. That's not so. You can't fix up enough and straighten up enough in order to be fit to go to heaven, because the only way to go to heaven is have your sins forgiven and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why Satan wants to hinder our efforts in giving the message, a clear message of the gospel. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Daniel chapter 10. This is an interesting passage here. Daniel chapter 10, we'll read just a couple of verses here. It's speaking about the hindering work of Satan. Notice if you would here in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now notice here, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now Daniel's prayer was being hindered until Michael intervened. And I said a moment ago, if we could just see the spirit realm or in the spirit world with our natural eyes, we would witness what real warfare is about. And it would probably scare every one of us to death. It's nothing that's... sometimes I think you know, we can just tiptoe through the tulips. I want to tell you, it's real spiritual warfare and spiritual battle. There's a battle that's being waged. There's a battle that's being fought in the spirit world or in the spirit realm. And again, we're in the midst of that. You say, what are we to do? Well, the Bible has the answer to that in Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, finally, my brethren, note again who he's speaking to. He's speaking to believers. Finally, my brethren, be strong. And by the way, there's not a period there. We think we can be strong by ourselves, but that we've deceived ourselves. We think we can stand, but we can't stand fast unless we stand fast in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not our might, His might. And then here's the instructions, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of who? The devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Understand again, Satan does his most destructive work in deceiving people through religious means. There are people that said in this church that I'm not 100% certain, but I'm nearly 100% certain they're lost. You say, why in the world would you say that? Because there's no spiritual fruit at all. You can stand and sing all you want to, oh, how I love Jesus. But the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It doesn't matter how many times you sing, how I love Jesus. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's pretty simple. I'm convinced there are people sitting at Temple Baptist Church week in and week out that has never had their sins forgiven. They've never established a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So does that bother you? Sure, it bothers me. It ought to bother you. But Satan has deceived so many people in thinking if they just attend church or if they sing a song or they throw money in an offering plate, then everything's okay. That does not make everything okay. Again, there's only one means of salvation, and it's through Christ and Christ alone. The Bible reminds us over in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's a lot of people that's been deceived. And we need the wisdom that only God can give us, because our enemy seeks to harm us. Now we've considered the evil that surrounds us. We've considered briefly the enemy that seeks to harm us. Let me give you one final thought this evening. That's the everlasting refuge we have in the Lord. The everlasting refuge we have in the Lord. In Jude here, verse number 9, Michael commits Satan to the Lord. He didn't try to contend with Satan. He didn't try to pull Satan down or tear Satan down. He commits Satan to the Lord. Now the hardest thing to do in this life, if we're honest tonight, one of the hardest things to do in life is to determine the human from the divine. Amen? I know preachers that, and please understand, I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, but there's a lot of preachers, they'll try to pull on people's emotions. Now, I'm not against that if that's the Spirit doing that, but I'm against it if it's a preacher doing that. I heard a preacher one time, somebody asked him about some of the illustrations that he used and some of the stories he told, and he said, man, where do you come up with all that stuff? He said, I just make it up. Well, that's wrong. We're not to take on the role of the Holy Spirit. We're not to take on the role of God. Now, I do believe that God will impress upon our hearts and speak to our hearts, and I do believe that emotion sometimes is involved with that. But I want to tell you, I'm against human effort to try to persuade people to do things. That borders on being a cult. There's a whole lot of folks that drink Kool-Aid because of emotion. They died. And sometimes we struggle between knowing the difference between the divine and human. What are we to do? And what is God to do? Understand tonight, Christian people should walk with the Lord. We should walk with the Lord and leave things in God's hands. Now, I'll be honest with you, I struggle with that. I like to be in control of everything. Amen? And most people are just like me. You want to be in control of everything. Amen? I can tell you who's in control of most things. It's whoever has the remote in their hand at your house. You say, I'd never want to control everything. Really? Lay down the remote. See how hard you struggle with that one. Well, I'm in charge of my house, and I'm going to say what's on the television. Okay. You just want to control everything. Amen? It's either amen or oh me. We struggle with that. And many of us try to play God with other people's lives. And I think that's dangerous. Christian people should walk with the Lord and leave things in God's hands. Michael said, the Lord rebuke thee. He didn't say, I rebuke thee. You know, you see some of these individuals on television today. They were interviewing one of these televangelists today, and he was trying to justify why he traveled from place to place in a private jet. And he said he didn't want to be surrounded by demonic people. That's why he flew by himself in a private jet. It's worth $400 million. I got a problem with that. Michael said, the Lord rebuke thee. Understand tonight, our refuge is the Lord. And every time we try to take measures into our own hands, we're going to make a mess of things. The battle was raging for the souls of mankind. The devil would like nothing more than to deceive all the people that he can. And religious deception is probably the greatest achievement the devil has come up with. And by the way, it started in the garden when Satan said to Eve, God knows when you eat this fruit, you're going to become or you're going to know things that God knows. And we'll either be used by God or we're going to be used by the devil. We're either going to be used by God or we're going to be used by the devil. And Michael said, the Lord rebuke thee. He didn't take God's place and take on God's role in this situation. Now let me close. Understand tonight, we cannot withstand evil alone. Can't do it. Say, I'm a strong Christian. You're not strong enough to do that. Not a one of us. There's not a one of us here strong enough to stand unless we stand fast in the Lord. There's not a one of us here tonight that's able to withstand evil outside the Lord. Why? Because God is our refuge. And we're not going to have, nor are we going to enjoy spiritual victory apart from the Lord. That's why Michael, when there was a contention over the body of Moses, said, the Lord rebuke thee. Let me ask this evening, and I'm finished. Just a couple of questions. First of all, are we a Christian? Has there ever been a time that you've asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins and there was a relationship established between you and the Lord? You say, well, I'm trying to figure it all out and I'm trying to make things work. You're going to try the rest of your life and you're going to be a failure. It's only one way to be a Christian. Only one way to heaven. Only one way to have your sins forgiven and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through any particular church. It's not through any baptistry waters. It's not through any particular work that you do. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's have your sins forgiven. And there's only one individual that can forgive your sins, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? Secondly, are we aware of the spiritual warfare going on around us? You know, sometimes we just live our Christian life like we're just tiptoeing through daisies. Amen? There's spiritual warfare going on. There's spiritual warfare going on in this service. You're going to have to deal with some things when you go home. You're going to deal with some things tomorrow. You're going to deal with some things every day of your life until your life is complete. Are we aware of the spiritual warfare that's going on? Because Satan wants to hurt you. He's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Are we aware that our only refuge is found in the Lord? And if we're going to stand, we must stand fast in him. And one final thing. Are we allowing God to do what God can do and not trying to take God's place in dealing with the things that we need to turn over to him? Let's bow our heads.